Today on the Southern California Real Estate Report, we talk about the redevelopment of a golf course. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Southern California Real Estate Report. This is Bob McGuire and Daniel Wise coming to you from San Diego, California. Once again, housing in the news. There appears to be a debate brewing over an approved project for new housing based on density concerns.
Exactly. It says a golf course, golf course.
Yeah, this is a formal golf course in Carmel Valley. Carmel Valley is, you know, what we would consider, this is a high-end residential neighborhood.
Right. Definitely high-end and a lot of neighborhood concern.
Yeah.
Concern about density, concern about environmental impacts. A lot of NIMBYism happening in this neighborhood.
Yeah, this is all NIMBY and CEQA. So two things that we've always talked about.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
And you know, the people that oppose these projects are usually pretty well organized. They're taking on, you know, very large developers. The developer of this project is a developer out of Santa Monica. So it's a California-based developer called New Urban West. And, they obviously have the experience of dealing with this because they're a California-based developer. But this was an approved project, and now they're getting pushback all over the board. So
I'm sure they have a massive contingency for just this type of stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know.
So it was formerly the Carmel Mountain Ranch Country Club. It was an 18-hole golf course. It closed in July of 2018. As we said, New Urban West is the company that is trying to develop the site. What they're proposing is kind of a larger project. So it sounds like it's a mixed-use project, basically of 1,200 apartments and condos. What people are fighting about mostly is the relocation of the apartments, I think, closer to the condo or closer to the commercial, and the overall density and the open spaces that what the developer is providing. The group that's organizing against him is basically saying it's inadequate. Plus, there's surrounding homeowners, and what I thought was interesting was there was a HOA that was also against it. That's an HOA in the Carmel Mountain neighborhood, northeast part of the Carmel Mountain neighborhood.
I'm sure the HOA is organized by the people that live there, so that doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, it must be, I guess. So, overall, this is going to be a really nice project. So they're trying to get it worked out right now. What they're trying to kind of sort through is obviously the location of the different product that they're trying to put on it, but moreover, they're also struggling with what is going to be affordable and what percentage of that. So, Urban West is saying that they told the council members that 15% or 180 of the project's residential units would be set aside as affordable to residents making 60% less. And usually it's based on the AMI, which is the area median income. And so they're saying it's going to be 60% of the units that they would set aside for that. And that is for regional median household income. And right now they're saying, look, in this neighborhood, there is no affordable housing. The question is this fight over the density and the location of the apartments, or is it more of an affordable housing fight? You know, a lot of the neighbors in there are probably concerned about what affordable housing does to the value of their homes and things like that. I think it's been proven through other projects that it does not have that big of an effect on things. It's something that we need to do.
Right.
It's something that is going to be an ongoing, you know, battle.
And that's just it. I think that, you know, you're right. I don't think your property value is going to be decreased that much because someone that is a firefighter, honestly, or is going to be living there. Like, affordable housing these days is really like middle income housing in some cases.
That's right. And in this case too, they're going to primarily be, you know, condo owners or apartment rentals. So there's not going to be really any designation of, you know, you're not, it's not like you're, they're going to paint the buildings a different color or something.
No, I mean, it's all incredibly regulated. And, you know, a lot of what people forget when I think they're fighting these projects is how much they like them when they're done. I think that it's always interesting that you find that you really like the trail system that's put in place, because right now, I don't remember, it was mentioned in this article that we're using, but the golf course is probably not usable. So that all that area that you look out on, you can't even access right now.
Right. Plus, it's all burned out.
Right.
So it becomes, you know, a fire hazard.
Right. So, you know, right now that area, that golf course area, is not usable. Now, when they eventually finish a project like this, you'll have access to a commercial component, maybe a new restaurant that you really enjoy, public parks.
Yeah. Possible trail grocery
system.
Store.
Right.
You know,
a trail system.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're not going to notice the fact that there is an affordable component. You're going to notice the fact that you have a good restaurant to go to.
Right.
And I think that's what people need to remember, is that it's bringing together communities. It's not tearing them apart.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think the other thing is, too, that is pretty interesting here is, you know, one of the topics in this particular article, this is an article that came off of CoStar literally yesterday. You know, these golf courses that are being redeveloped, they're big water users. You know, they're expensive to run. It's a lot of land. It's usually in really, you know, pretty nice, beautiful areas. So, mm-hmm. you know, to repurpose these into residential, they really turn out to be really nice projects. The density issue is kind of real from a standpoint of what needs to be accomplished. So in order for San Diego to meet the guidelines set out by the state, they need to have 100,000 new units by 2029. So that's in 7 years. So right now, in order to do that, they would have to increase the production of units to more than 13,500 new units a year to hit that number. So you have to ask yourself, you know, was what was set out by the state like too ambitious of a number? Or is it that the system is just broken down here to get things approved and to be able to go in and approve things where there's a set standard of saying, hey, Danielle's building 100 units, easy. 10% of that is going to be affordable, or 20% or whatever the number. There always seems to be this fight back and forth over the affordable component, or everyone's trying to get it. Yeah, and it's like, look, I mean, the more that we do that, the less housing we have. It just continues to make the supply and demand argument that much stronger. Nobody wants to believe it's supply and demand, but when you see these things, you're like, well, you know, that prices will continue to climb.
And another interesting thing is, you know, there's that Heinz project in Mission Valley that's taking over the golf course, the Riverwalk golf course.
And it's literally four times larger than this one.
Right. And way less community backlash. And the reason probably being a combination of the fact that it's in a pretty built-up area, Mission Valley.
Yeah.
But, you know, the reality is that these are the projects that are needed. I got to be honest. I hate the idea of seeing properties, horse properties, golf courses, you know, our trail systems or anything get, you know, I hate the idea.
Redeveloped.
Yeah, or density. But, you know, the reality is that we live in San Diego. We don't live in the countryside of Vermont or somewhere where we have access to lots of land and lots of places to build. And we need housing, and we need affordable housing. Otherwise, you know, my kids, if I were to have one, would not be able to afford to live here
right.
In the future. And, you know, people coming out of college won't be able to afford to live here either.
Yeah, I mean, and these larger projects, they serve a need too, like you said, for the workforce housing, and the workforce people are, you know, firefighters, nurses, teachers,
right,
people like that. So
affordable is such a funny word to me, because the like it's not. I think that the implication for some of these neighborhoods is that it's going to bring riffraff into their areas, and I would strongly suggest that people check what they define as affordable, because unless you've been living in neighborhoods for a long time, 20 plus years, 30 plus years, it's not. And you, I mean, that's when it would maybe, that wasn't even affordable then maybe, but it was definitely way more affordable now.
I don't know what the radius is.
Or less affordable now, excuse me.
Yeah, and I don't know what the radius is for the AMI calculation. You know, I can't pretend that like it's some, I'm sure you could do some back of the napkin calculation, but I would imagine since it's something that's, you know, put down through the state and the city, I'll bet it's pretty complicated and what it's based on. But just thinking about it relative to Carmel Valley. So 60% of the AMI of that location, right?
Yeah.
So what do you think the AMI is there? 250?
Yeah.
You know? 300?
Probably.
You know, it's hard to say. I mean, but that's what you would think. I mean, the average home price is probably a mil five, you would think.
Yeah, probably 2 mil.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, to qualify for that, I would imagine. Now, granted, AMI numbers and median income numbers, they're always much lower because you're using a huge ring. But, you know, in a lot of cases, but still, it's a lot. So when you're looking at 60% of this AMI, it, you know, that's probably somebody that's earning, you know, over $100,000 a year, I would guess.
Yeah, your nurses, your firefighters,
right.
Your lower,
right.
Your, you know, your
right.
Mid-range managers.
Right.
It's not
like the $30,000 to $40,000 a year earner. These are the people that are providing, you know, support systems to our community through hospitals, fire departments, police departments, places like that that really need this, you know. So that's another thing to really factor into this type of thinking is that, you know, who's really going to be living in these places in these locations. It's going to be, regardless of who it is, it's going to be somebody, when you look at the average median income around San Diego, it's very high. So,
well, you know, you can't expect the person who, you need affordable housing on every level. You need the person that's working at your restaurant.
Yeah.
You know, we need people that are, you know, taking care of our streets and
right,
potholes.
Everything.
And these are all things that we need everyone needs housing, and we need to make sure that it's available for everyone. So.
Yeah. So this is going to be an interesting thing to follow. The Mission Valley project that Danielle mentioned, there's also getting a little bit of pushback down there as well. Again, that's a much larger project. That's, you know, I think 4,300 units. So, you know, over time we're going to track these developments. I have not heard anything about Qualcomm yet and whether or not they've started proposing, you know, different master plans on that as far as the housing component of it. And whether or not there's density pushback on that yet either. But
sure,
usually it comes from the surrounding area. Qualcomm happens to be bordered by, you know, Tierra Santa and other areas. So I'm sure there's going to be questions about traffic and impact and things like that. So, we'll see what happens with this project. I do believe it will get approved. I just think the property will morph into something that's, you know, they're going to have to find a common ground. I don't know what that common ground may be. They've already scaled it down, but they may end up taking off another, you know, 20% in density, something like that.
Hopefully not.
And maybe, you know, increasing the affordable component. So thanks for listening today. This is the Southern California Real Estate Report.